The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, for the first 2.5 hours of this show. Raheel joins us at 2 at 9 o'clock. And also here, Nate Griffin, Channel 26. We will be on in about 5 minutes over there on Channel 26. So if you want to watch us, you can do that just by tuning in to Channel 26 this morning. So we will be talking about, obviously, about Osuna. Do you guys think that the Astros locker room was so depressed that they couldn't beat the Dodgers yesterday? Do you think that it had an effect on them losing 3-2 yesterday to the Dodgers?
No. I think it's that they only had four guys left on the roster who aren't on the DL.
Do you think that was really a Fresno lineup yesterday? And not really. I mean, I get Sunday. I get us. But why did you have to rest Yuli? Why? You got JD. You got Tyler White and JD Davis hitting 5 and 6. You got Marwin Gonzalez with his 212 average hitting 4th. Play Yuli. Why? Why?
You pinch it.
Yuli, I mean, Yuli can play. You know how many days off they got coming up? Like 12 over the next 14 days. Play Yuli. What the hell?
It might have made a difference. Probably not, but
no. First and second, nobody out. Tyler White up. Watch his strike three. JD Davis, double play. You don't think that Yuli would have made a difference?
Might have. That's Yuli's jam, is when men are on base.
Professional hitter.
Yeah, you know it feels like a uniquely Houston Astro manager thing. Forever, Houston Astro managers have just said, we don't give a crap about Sundays.
That's the truth.
We're just throwing anything out there. It's unbelievable. It's every manager ever. And this, the lineup got worse when Springer left the game. And if you weren't watching yesterday, it's not good in Astro land right now. Not only did news come out about Jose Altuve's injury being a little worse than they expected, he's not going to play. He's not going to make the trip to San Francisco. That's not happening. And the rumblings were there's a little bit of concern there. Now, at least on the post-game show, that's what they were talking about. Or maybe, no, in-game, during the game when they talked about it. Number two, Carlos Correa. We're still waiting for Correa to come back.
But he is at least playing.
Yeah, in the minors, right.
I think, and from what I heard behind the scenes, he was asked. I mean, he said, yeah, I guess, but I think they just want me to get at-bats.
It's taken longer than... Well, because they need him to hit.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, they need him
ready to
roll.
They don't want him coming back and slumping right away.
And right now, I'll give the Astros credit. The Astros understand it's not the run-up. It's not the race. It's the finish for them. They know that they've got to be ready to go at the finish line because they know it's all about being at your best in the postseason, the timing of it all. So that's what we have as solace. But it's a little concerning. You got the always healthy Jose Altuve, who appears to be not super healthy right now. George Springer jams his thumb again and on a head-first slide. The same thumb he had hurt previously immediately was in a ton of pain. They took him out of the game. That one's going to put him on the sideline for a little
bit. Pretty damn good question. Why isn't he wearing an oven mitt?
Why is George Springer ever trying to steal a base? Yeah. This guy's been thrown out like 175,000 times in his life.
He's old for his career.
He's the worst base stealer. And I always thought he'd be a good one. Like,
no,
I always
he's
thought
not.
He's the worst base stealer.
No.
Oh, and by the way, Lance McCullers on a DL. And here's a guy who throws a Mr. Snappy curveball.
Like, every pitch.
Yeah, and he's grabbing the elbow, and I'm like, this isn't good. As a matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and put it out there right now. Lance McCullers about to be out for a long time.
Oh, God. What is wrong with you?
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm so
it's not like he's never been hurt
everything
before.
Everything you say
he's
right now.
He's been hurt a ton.
I'm just disgusted with you right
he's
now.
He's been hurt a ton.
All right, here we go. Nate is looking at the camera, and he's tapping us, and Stu's got his... When Stu has his hand up, then it's over for everybody, okay? We're going to talk about Roberto Osuna here coming up right here on Fox 26. So if you are in the neighborhood of a television, you can watch.
Hey, Tom, Sally, you know, right now I think there's a lot of pressure on the Astros, and that's probably an understatement, if you will. Roberto Osuna now with the Astros. Look, let's talk with John first, John and Lance. John, you look at this thing and you wonder, okay, where are the Astros right now, where they stand? Osuna's now with the Astros. After a 75-game suspension, what now?
Well, first of all, I want to get that straight. That was Melissa, not Sally.
Was that Melissa?
Yeah, that was Melissa.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Just so
sorry about that.
Just so Melissa doesn't feel bad about herself. Where the 75-game suspension over? The locker room, I think, is going to be okay because it's such a strong locker room. But they're seeing so many people. There's so much criticism. The guys are in a tough spot. The management has put them in a tough spot. There is no question about this. Can this team overcome that? Yes. Does Osuna need to pitch really, really well so that some of this will go away? When Chapman pitched really well for the Cubs, you know what? It kind of nobody talked about that anymore. What they talked about was Chapman coming in. Holy cow, you got Chapman coming in. Osuna really needs to step up here. So maybe some of this stuff will go away. Not that it deserves or anything else, but for this locker room to actually be able to swallow this, he better pitch well.
Well, he's taking Lance McCullers' spot on the roster, Lance. Mm-hmm. And certainly when you look at this, I guess lots of pressure on them, but the locker room. What about the locker room?
Well, I really don't worry about the locker room that much. You'd have to, if you throw someone who is volatile in a locker room that is volatile, it could make for a lot of really bad things. But this is a very cohesive locker room. It's a locker room full of leaders. It's a locker room full of guys who really like each other. I think he'll be absorbed into the locker room, and I don't think that's going to be an issue. I really don't. I do agree with John, though. It really puts a lot of pressure on Jeff Lanona. Jeff Lanona's magic blanket that he was able to wear and his cloak of invincibility after bringing this team a World Series, the city a World Series, he's kind of pulled it back a little bit with this move, and they really need them to play. Osuna has to play well now.
Well, it really does, and certainly we're going to see how this thing is going to unfold. Melissa, sorry about that. I owe you one. John and Lance with me. We'll see you at 8 o'clock. Back to you.
And Nate is looking.
She'll never forgive me.
And we're safe.
She'll never forgive me.
Well, she's like a wife, you're done.
Yeah.
That'll come up in 3 years.
She'll never forgive
me. That'll come up. I have things that come up like 14 years later.
Yep.
No. Aren't 14? You the same person? They're like, what? I don't even know. Am I? What?
Yeah.
Wasn't that really?
That's not Nate. Melissa right there.
Can we really
John
blame
did
Nate,
save
though?
My bacon, though. I appreciate that.
We can't blame Nate. They all look alike, right?
Oh.
All women look alike.
All women look alike.
Oh, all Fox 26 anchors.
Those people? Those people all look alike? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, they all look alike.
Oh, my God, Dell. That's the worst thing ever.
Thanks, guys. See you
today. Why would you ever say those people? That's a horrible thing. I heard this morning, coming in, listening to ESPN, Pedro Gomez said Astros management were caught off guard by the reaction to this thing. If that's the case, I don't know that that's true.
What kind of bubble do you live in? You know what? It's possible.
It is possible.
It's possible that you live in a bubble like, everyone loves us. We're the Astros. Have you guys not seen how much everybody loves
us? Well, I don't know if that's the case so much as, you know what? Other teams have picked up guys. I mean, what's going to be? And we just won a World Series. Yeah, everybody does. Everybody does. But I don't think they – okay, if they could go back and do it over again.
They would not pick him up.
They would not pick him up.
I think they'd act earlier and get another closer.
Well, no, even at that point, I think they just go.
Or they just go Rondon.
Yeah.
Pull
and see if they can't get somebody else to be up for a setup.
Hey, I heard that Leno was, there's a reporter in
oh my God, Melissa Fox 26 is now following me. on Twitter. I just got that notification. She's following me because
Wendy!
I stood up for her.
Oh, no. No,
I actually...
Wait
a minute. Hold up.
Stood up for her.
Stood up?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what you did. You helped me out. I cannot deny that. I can't deny that you helped me out.
You were disrespecting her.
Stood up?
And I threw the cloak over the water.
I believe this.
Over the puddle?
I can't believe it.
John,
I threw my jacket over the puddle while you were trying to trip her into it.
That is what happens. This is what happens when beautiful women are in the picture. John just throws his boy under the bus.
Well, you're the one that threw her under the bus.
You know what? I didn't throw her under the bus.
Yeah.
I just made a little mistake. Sally was in at 6. You know, and then I didn't recover well, but thank you anyway.
That's fine. JD says, I'm homesick watching Fox News. Just caught y'all talking about Osuna. Nice Coors Light and Starbucks advertising. So which one do you think has Coors Light advertising, and which one do you think has Starbucks?
I know this.
Coors Light advertising. Your name, you should just change your name to Coors Light.
Oh.
You talk about it that much. You should literally just change your name officially. Lance Erline and Coors Light hosting the show.
What?
On the bench.
How awesome.
Coors
would that
Light
be?
And Lance.
Wouldn't that be awesome to be Johnny Coors Light?
Preach on, brother.
You're damn right it would be.
Wendy is not going to be. Does Wendy know that you just had a new follower from a different station?
She's fine with that. Okay.
Are you sure?
Get as many followers as you can. Even yes, yes. No, Wendy will not mind one bit that Melissa Wilson decided to follow me.
Okay.
Follow her back. Look at that. Look at that. I'm going to do that right now. Here we go. Follow.
He's going to get a call from Wendy.
No, Wendy.
She becomes attached.
He's fine with Melissa following him, but you returned the
favor. I'm following her too. Don't follow her back.
Oh no.
Holla back. That's what she said. Wendy said holla back.
No, she didn't.
No, she did not.
Yeah, she kind of did. She kind of did. I'm pretty sure she would. If she's not listening right now, so I don't have to worry about anything. She's getting ready for work. So anyway, back to this thing. When Pedro Gomez said that, I said no. And this is the thing about, I mean, we've seen so many stupid billboards. We've seen so many advertisements with, racially, and you're like, did no one look at this and say that's really, really bad? Let's not do this. I'm wondering if anybody in that think tank said, in the Astros think tank, said, wait a minute, guys. Whoa. Do we really, really think that everybody's going to be okay with bringing this guy in here? Do we really want to fade this?
That's an interesting question. My guess is that somebody did. I mean, somebody. But if you're not way up the food chain, it's irrelevant, and maybe you didn't have a chance to really voice it.
I want to say this. And I keep going back to this, but I read Astro Ball, and if you've ever read Groupthink, it is a great book. It's about the Kennedy administration, how they handled the Bay of Pigs, and how they handled the Cuban Missile Crisis. Bay of Pigs, they screwed up. They tried to assassinate Castro, and they really messed it up. And with the Cuban Missile Crisis, they did it differently. Kennedy listened to all of these different options. He took everything into account, and they actually all worked together. He opened up, as opposed to Bay of Pigs, in which they said they didn't even, nobody had a dissenting thought. Nobody brought all of the ramifications to the table. Nobody, it was all just a bunch of guys thinking the same way and going, yet nodding. And I kind of feel like last year for the Astros, and when you read the book, you hear how Jeff Luhnow goes about it. He listens to everybody. He has everybody in the room. Give me your thoughts. I want to know. I don't care what it is. Let me hear what you... I want to hear all the thoughts, and we'll put them all together, and we'll make decisions on drafting players or getting free agents or whatever. And it's a wonderful system. I kind of feel like this decision to bring in Osuna, they were all just nodding and going, yeah, no, we're good.
But I honestly believe there's a chance. Look, the Astros can do no wrong. That's what it feels like to them. We won a World Series. Look at how many people were at the park. Look at how many people. I really think they're probably out of touch. It's not the first time we've seen this. We've seen this with the Rockets. The Rockets, after they won championships, and I first got into media, one of the things was it was amazing how the media relations department was difficult to deal with, including Tim Frank, who's now at league office. They thought their bleep did not stand
well, and it was
until they needed a stadium, and they're like, and then they lost the vote, and they start going, holy crap.
Well, not only that, but they all started to think like Rudy, talk like Rudy.
Yeah, but they had seven individual votes, though. They all had individual votes. Dennis Lindsay once told me how it worked. He said, now here's the thing.
But they all started thinking the same, Lance.
I don't think that's 100% true. But when there was a consensus, everyone gets on, which is what it should be. If you lose, if you say, I don't want this guy, and two guys say that, and five guys say, we want him, and you go with them.
Then you jump on.
You can't be the one, the dissenting guy, because you're going to start leaking stuff. I wasn't that guy. Yeah. That's what Rick Smith used to do. I didn't make that pick. I didn't. Right, he made sure that Pat Starr and others found out. That wasn't my pick. That was Wade. Wade did Sam.
Right.
Sam Montgomery.
All right, 7:14, Dell says we got to take a break.
Let's get into this more on the other side, because if this concerns me if the Astros had no idea this was going to bring some heat.
Yeah, I was shocked by that.
I think the conversation is incredibly important and valuable. There are a lot of components to the conversation. There's the and we do need to have it, and it's a sticky conversation. The topic of any sort of alleged abuse, the topic of domestic violence. But there's also some related topics of condemning someone with no information, and I see a lot of that out there. There's not a lot of people that have real information about what happened or who the person is, and yet they're pretty quick to judge and to condemn, and I think that's something that we need to be careful of.
There's proof that Jeff Leno doesn't go to his Twitter account much, as he's upset that people judge quickly and that they condemn without all the facts. I'm sorry. That just tells me that somebody else runs your Twitter account. That's all that tells me. He's got somebody who runs his account.
Yeah, this is...
this has been going on.
I mean,
for quite
I know they're under siege. I know that they have to be. They're really, really just trying to fend off all the attacks right now. Let's face it, it's self-inflicted. If you didn't know that this was going to happen, then that's on you, because it's 2018. And you guys are smarter. It's amazing to me sometimes that really, really smart people, they don't see something coming. Now, will it all blow over? Hopefully. Is it a ding on the organization? It absolutely is. And that's a shame, because this was a perfect organization. Yeah, they did it by losing. They got there by losing, as opposed to how the Rockets have had to do it, or other teams will, you know, they're not going to tank and all that stuff. But the way that they put it together, the era of good feeling in that locker room and everything else, this is a ding. There is no question that this is. Can they overcome it? Yes.
Well, they'll only overcome.
They're
going
to have to fade
success.
This now for a while, though, and don't be pissy about it. You can't, Astros, you can't be pissy about this. That, listen, I never saw an organization handle it as well. When they were winning and people still weren't coming, they were like, hey, listen, we understand it. We weren't on TV. We were really, really bad for so long. It's going to take you people. Well, they didn't criticize the fans for not showing up when they couldn't have been better. They couldn't have done anything more perfectly than they did it up until this decision. They had been just, I mean, and here's a problem with it, is you see so many people so proud of this organization wearing Astros gear that and whether, I don't give a rat's ass what people think outside of the city of the Houston Astros, but you wear that now and there might be a different connotation for people.
You think?
Yes. Oh, outside of this city.
Oh, outside of this city.
Outside of this city, there are people that are looking at it going, really? That's how, that really? After you won already?
You know, I mean, that seems a little crazy, considering you have no video footage, no pictures, and no reports of even anything that happened. Like, to think that that just feels a little strange that people would have that strong a reaction based on no knowledge of anything.
Right. Well, 75 games. I mean, I think that's damning.
But you know what? Here's why I don't think that's the case. I don't think Osuna is really even on the map of the general sports fan. I mean, he was a closer in Toronto. He was, I don't think, well, it has not been a major, it was not a major story that was covered by SI and ESPN.
You know what made it a major story?
When they
the Astros traded for him.
Yeah, I understand, but I mean, I still don't think it's going to hit the radar unless something comes out that expands on what we know, which isn't much other than he's been suspended 75 games. If some pictures come out, it's going to turn into a really big deal for the Astros and one that's going to get worse. If a video comes out, if they didn't know, for one, the fact that they didn't know that they could have some heat from the general public, including their own fans, that's a little concerning that you're in that much of a bubble that you literally have absolutely no idea of just general, like you can't predict that's what's going to happen. That's a little concerning. The second thing is, if he doesn't pitch well, and this is kind of damning, well, everything will blow over if he pitches well. That's the truth. That's where we are as society. It's not brand new. If you do something bad and people are going to be mad, but if you do really well at what you do as an entertainer in sports, we'll forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Or politics or whatever. We will forgive you. But if not, well, then we've just got more ammunition.
Okay,
so he's got to perform well now.
Do you think he's got to get an appearance in San Francisco tonight or tomorrow? I think he really does.
Oh, so, not, I'd rather do it on the road than at home.
Yes.
A chance to succeed. Yes. So when he comes, the first, he's going to have booze in the crowd.
He's going to have when he comes a lot out. Of booze.
I think it's going to be more cheers than booze at the stadium. People who go to the game, let's also remember.
Yes, they're huge Astro people.
They're a lot different than. Yes. And that's one thing that we've seen from doing the show for so long is we understand the people who call on sports talk are mm-hmm. going to be, are typically be more critical. People who go to the games are a lot of times super fans. And I don't mean that being disparaged. I'm not trying to disparage, but their slant is always at Texans, at Rockets, at Astros, mm-hmm. big pro James, anything. And if you say anything negative about the off the court stuff, they get really upset. Why are you guys being so rough on Rick Smith? Or why are you guys being so rough on the Texans? They've won division championships. They're going to find the positive stuff. And with the Osuna stuff, hey, I just care about guys as pitcher as players. I don't judge them off the field. Let's wait to hear what comes out about them, things like that. So I do think it's going to be more positive than negative at the stadium. But I just can't believe that an organization would be taken off guard in this time where we live, where people are very aware of domestic abuse.
I think they will tell us. They will go, no, we knew. Not to this extent. I don't know that they knew that it would be to this, or thought it would be to this extent.
If they become kind of a pissy organization, it wouldn't be the first time here in the city of Houston. Like I said, after the Rockets won the championship, they thought they could do no wrong until they were humbled. And they kind of changed some of the things. I think it happens with all organizations that have some success. They have some success and they get – you see it in college football all the time. The organization, the program becomes bigger than the entire city. And you can push people around when you're successful.
You're talking about UT, obviously.
Well, I'm actually talking about Nick Saban at BAM. I'm talking about anywhere and everywhere. But Mac Brown was the big bully in Austin while he was doing well. And then when it went sideways on him, you lose all that. You lose that leverage.
All right, let's catch up. 727 ESPN 97.5. Let's save people money, and then we'll get you guys on the other side. 713-780-3776.
My man Lanny is the one who is helping to save people money at BillAdvisor.com. Get messages all the time from you guys saying, hey, is it real? Is it legit? And it is real. It is legit. They come in. They take a look at your bills. They'll tell you right off the bat if there's anything that's suspicious in your bills, because they know when there's like garbage $3 fees here and $2.30 fees here. And it may seem like a little deal, but that's what a lot of these companies will do is they'll put little maintenance fees and things like that, that you end up paying with your automatic deduct over and over and over. So every time the bill goes up, you're automatically paying it. If it goes from $135 to $147, $12, you don't even know it basically unless you really pay close attention. Let Bill Advisor get in there and take a look at your bill and find out how much more you're paying than a new customer, because it's their mission to go get you new customer prices. And why not? If you have been a person who has been a faithful and loyal customer and who paid on time, don't you deserve a break in price at some point? Why does it always have to be the new customers? Get your break in price and let Bill Advisor do it. That's why they're able to save $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, even $4,000 with your home, auto insurance, cell phone, home phone, internet, cable, satellite, all of these things, can energy. They can all be negotiated through our good friends over at Bill Advisor. Go to the website, billadvisor.com. That's billadvisor.com. Or text GO to 232323. And within 24 hours, you will have brand new bills and potentially thousands in savings. That's billadvisor.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:32 ESPN 97.5.
At some point, I want to get to. I do want. I'm only in episode 3, but at some point, I do want to get to Last Chance U today.
Oh my God! I've watched 3 or 4 of them. I think 4, and I'm enthralled. Jason Brown,
white guy from Compton,
is
right off the
maybe
bat
my favorite coach ever.
He is the worst coach I've ever seen. You want to talk about just, boy, what a pat on the butt he gives guys, doesn't he?
Oh my God.
I mean, he EMFs them up and down the field.
And it's like, don't win this for you, win it for me.
Yeah, win it for me.
When he went against his ex-team, he goes, I do everything for you guys. You ain't doing nothing for me.
I know.
That's an odd motivation.
What? I got to keep sucking your bleeps. Like, what? What?
My God. And then the next game after that, everybody on his own team wanted to kick his ass. The coach went after him. Players went after him.
Oh, I haven't gotten that far.
Oh, my God. It is the best one yet.
And, buddy, even better when there was a brawl at the end of season 1. And
oh, well, that was good.
Buddy had to, like.
That was good.
And like,
but this was, I mean, that game after they played Garden City. Yeah, they played, Dodge City. Holy crap. Dude, Last Chance U is I watched the first season. I didn't see this. I didn't see the second.
Season was Buddy all over again.
Yeah. Was it really?
They went back to the same place.
Buddy, allegedly.
And this time, Buddy had seen himself. I saw myself. I knew I shouldn't be cussing and carrying on. I just embarrassed myself. So he tried, like, the first couple, hey, guys, it's just really, come on, let's do a better job here. And Buddy's trying to, like,
no
you
chance.
See these guys totally, like, hey, let's make it happen. And Brittany's a little prettier in this episode. Like, she puts on her makeup before her episodes. And then by about episode 3, Buddy just starts to just lose it again. He can't control himself. Like, watching him, am I wrong, Dale?
No.
Watching him try
he
to
tried.
Control himself in the first 2, all right, we're going to fumble sometime. That's okay. Let's stay positive and do things the right way. I'm like, no.
Nope.
The FSU representative for Barstool Sports tweeted out, like, Last Chance U, like this image. And then they had Last Chance U, then had, like, pictures of Florida football or whatever. It says Last Chance U on it. And then some parody account for Last Chance U goes, the 3 quarterbacks on Last Chance U have all been
Florida State
quarterbacks.
State guys, yeah.
So he goes, so how about if you live in a glass house, don't throw any stones?
Right.
Because Florida State's
Malik
been a
Henry.
By the way, Malik Henry.
Ooh. Mm-mm.
Oh, well, now wait. Now I'm only 3 episodes in.
Well,
he seems not super coachable.
Oh, well, you must have already seen where he dropped a bleep you on the ref.
Oh, where he got whatever, flagged?
Where he got, yeah. Well, he was going to get flagged for dropping an N-bomb on one of the opposing players, and you're supposed to miss two games after that. And as he's walking off the field in, at halftime, the ref goes, listen, you can't drop any N-bombs. He goes, whatever, F you.
Oh, no. That's probably my next episode.
But let me Holy tell you crap.
So my brother played junior college ball in Mississippi. And he said, everything you see on what Last Chance You... And I said, there are people who said, Mike, Buddy reminds us of you. And Mike's like, Buddy ain't me. I don't... He goes, I may yell and scream sometime, but I get along with all my players, yada, yada, yada. He went to junior college at Perk Junior College in Mississippi. He said, when you're at Mississippi Junior College, you are there for one of two reasons. Either you're not good enough to get into D1... And you're trying to just, you know, get a scholarship somewhere, or you are a straight, or no, there's three reasons. You're
dumb,
not smart at all. You're dumb, or you are a straight up gangster. He said, it's one of, and sometimes it can be two of the three. And he just said, you know, he played against Gary Walker. He said, Gary Walker just bludgeoned him. He had to go up against these really good players who became NFL players. He's like, oh, there's just guns all over. And this is in the 90s. He's like, oh, I saw plenty of guns in the dorm. He's like, junior college in Mississippi, and it's really what we're finding out. Junior college everywhere, Kansas. Where's Buddy and them? Where were they? Where was that? Was that Mississippi?
It was Mississippi.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was Mississippi. It's just hardcore junior college football is it's not great.
Who was it? Travis Johnson was a coach. He was in here, and he was talking about telling us about JUCO. He coached in JUCO.
Well, you got the Bleep Birds. I mean, the guys who, if you come from a D1, they call them bounce backs, and you end up at a junior college, you've done something bad.
Yep.
You've done something.
No, and they're all trying to work their way back.
That could just be that, your grades.
That whole coaching situation, you haven't gotten to it yet, where the coach goes over and shows his where he's living, and it's really sad. You're like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
You must love football because he's doing it for nothing, and where he's and the whole well, just working for Jason Brown. Holy crap!
Well, Buddy wasn't a whole lot better. You probably need to see season two. They turn on Buddy there too, but because Buddy can't control himself,
no.
He can't the things he calls these kids. It's and this guy Jason Brown's even worse.
He's worse.
He grew up in Compton, so he thinks he's got free rent. And I don't even think he has free. I think that's how he grew up, and that's just how he talks to people. Yeah. And I'm like, man, if you haven't seen Last Chance U, you might want to get. It's not going to be for everybody, but for those who like it, you're going to really
be ready for some. Be ready for some F-bombs, that's for sure, and other stuff.
Hey, what's the one about the high school in Florida where the player starts fighting with the coach? Dell, something about the Bulls. It's
it's about Northwestern.
Yeah, I think so.
Year of the Bull.
Year of the Bull. Go watch Year of the Bull. High school in Florida. Where the coaches and players will just – sometimes you don't know who's mother bleeping the other one. Like, it's like, I don't even know what's happening here. And all of a sudden, the video just catches a coach starts swinging on a player, and they just start fighting. This is a coach of his own team.
Has Malik Henry signed anywhere?
I was trying not to look it up because I wanted to finish the show because they usually give you, like, a rundown. But from – I don't know. We don't get all the stats as the games are going on. It didn't look like he was that good.
No, I didn't.
Not only not that good, just, but I wouldn't want him on my team.
Not coachable, complaining, and he doesn't look like he's very good to me.
Well, he threw some nice balls. But
wide open to wide open guys down the field.
Yeah. Well, no. He hit some nice passes.
He's got some arm talent. Some nice
passes. And how about that quarterback coach Frank Diaz? I'm like, ain't nobody buying into you, squirrely. Come on, man. I'm trying to do this for you. Help me, okay? This is the game that you became a coachable quarterback, okay? And Malik's like, whatever.
Jeff is here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Jeff?
Hey, guys. I want to talk about Luno, and I just think it's his arrogance that really got in the way of him in this trade season and created this whole Osuna issue. Because if the narrative, if he would have done it at the beginning of the trade season, I like to say season because, you know, off season, et cetera, would have been, yes, we know about the domestic abuse situation, but this is by far the best arm we could get to win. And that's something I think a lot of fans could have lived with. But because he waited to the end, the very end, when all these people were available, it's almost like look, this is the best we could do. We know he had domestic violence issues, but there was nobody else left. We're holding the bag kind of deal. That's kind of the narrative it is. And as messed up as it is, if he would have done it at the beginning of the trade season, nobody would have been as upset. With all the trades going on with Manny Machado, et cetera, would have been over with already. And now Luno really, I think, has to go get a big waiver trade like Avisaíl García or Jake DeGrom, because McCullers is hurt, and then Astros fans are pissed. And, you know, you see Chris Archer go for not much. I still think, and I said it again, we should go after Jake DeGrom because Keuchel's gone, or get Avisaíl García or somebody now to now get rid of this Ozuna heat, because he waited too long once again.
Well,
and I'll let y'all talk.
Yeah, well, that there is something to that. I mean, I think that was one of the first things that you mentioned, is that because he missed on all these guys, he had to do something. And as opposed to getting somebody in here at even a higher cost, but the higher cost of players, of prospects. He's so miserly with his prospects, I think, that he probably was like, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that. And then all of a sudden there's nothing left, and he's stuck getting a guy that's going to cause all this controversy. He didn't have to give up much. His 10th overall prospect in Giles and Paulino, oh well, you would give that up all day, every day for Ozuna if he didn't have all this baggage. Yeah. I agree. I think he was in a place where he was like, holy crap, got to do something now. And, well, let's fade this. Well, not a great idea. I don't think they're going to replace McCullers. If McCullers is done for the year, you're going to go with 4-star. I think you throw McHugh into the rotation. You get, and McHugh goes back to the bullpen for the playoffs. I don't think that you're going to get a waiver wire DeGrom. I just don't.
No, I don't. He'll go with what he has.
Will fade. By the way, this whole thing, he doesn't need to get a DeGrom to make the Ozuna thing. This will start to die down. It will. You know, I'm sure the Cubs took their heat for Chapman. I'm sure everybody who picks up a guy that's had issues gets some heat. It will fade away. It will. I mean, it will still be out there. And, oh, by the way, you're going to have to go through the whole trial thing, too. And there's going to be the evidence that you're going to see that no one has seen yet. And then it might come out and be
so
really, really bad.
It's not going to go away then.
No. Well, I'm talking about this baseball season. This baseball season. They'll probably, September is supposed to be his court date, but they'll probably be
That's
postponed.
Right in the middle of some stuff.
Postponed.
You think?
Postponed.
they need it to be.
I mean, he's facing, because of the charge, he's facing a maximum of 6 months in jail.
Yeah.
A maximum.
Well, so anything that comes out, if there are marks, if there are bruises, if there are anything, it's going to... There's going to be an outcry for how can the Astros pitch him. The Astros need to – the guy's been suspended 75 games. He's lost millions in this deal. So, I mean, the Astros aren't suspending him anything additional. You're crazy. Major League Baseball has imposed their punishment. But this is just a classic example. If this didn't have to be the case, if Jeff Leno would have acted earlier. And I'm telling you what else. So I wrote this in my Sports Map article last week because I kind of had an epiphany. Jeff Leno was sitting pretty before all this, sitting really pretty. But you can see how this could go sideways quickly. You look at Lance McCullers. Let's say he ends up having, God forbid, Tommy John and ends up being out for a longer period of time. Although guys are coming back from Tommy John like they came back from, you know, ACLs now in football. But let's say that happens. And all of a sudden, before you know it, Justin Verlander's not there anymore. And what if Garrett Cole turns into being a 3-7-0 pitcher, just an okay pitcher like he was with the Pirates? Here's Garrett Cole. Six of his first seven, he went seven innings or more. In 10 of his last 11, he's failed to go seven innings. And this is supposed to be a big workhorse for you. And he's not able to get deep into games right now. Six innings is not deep into games.
Well, I think in large part, he still throws 100 pitches.
Yeah, he gets, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's a strikeout pitcher.
He's a strikeout pitcher, so he's going to throw more.
But in the postseason, I think you want him working deeper. I mean, let's face it, you don't want to go, I don't care, don't give me the bullpen stats. I already saw what happened last year. I'm not a big fan. Devo, by the way, on DL. Devo could be the one who's out.
You know, Joe Smith makes a lot of money, but I still think I still think that he's the guy. He's the odd man out, even though it's $8 million over a couple of years.
Yep.
I still think you go, this is the Astros. This is, you're fighting for a, if Joe Smith can't, if he doesn't trust Joe Smith and you'd rather have Peacock than Joe Smith, then you keep Peacock. Because it, let's face it, it's coming down to Will Harris, Peacock, and Davinsky. That's what you're facing right now, especially in the postseason. You don't mind because whatever, you don't have to get rid of him. But I don't think Joe Smith's going to be there for the postseason. No way, no how. Maybe in September, but no way, no how. Well, in September you got call ups and you can expand the roster. So oh well. I'm with you. All right, let's take a break. 746 ESPN 97.5. We'll get your calls in on the other side. Let's talk a little hoops right now, though. Let's talk about your kids having fun. If you get the goal that doesn't go up and down, let's say you got a 4, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, I mean, they're not learning anything. They're not having any fun. They can't reach the basket. Okay, you got to that 4-year-old is actually going to be able to enjoy the hoop that's stapled to the garage or the one that's, you know, the cheap one that you get from the box store. They're not going to be able to enjoy this. They're just not. Okay, a 10-foot goal, you know how long it takes for even a 12-year-old to reach a 10-foot goal? Well, they should learn. No, let them have fun. Let them lower the goal and actually enjoy out there and actually play with it, because they're not going to. How long is it going to take for? It's going to take 8 years for your, and by then it's all going to be rusted out. Well, first of all, they don't rust if you get a hoops goal. Secondly, you got the tempered glass backboard and unbreakable rim. Third, it lowers so the kids can enjoy it. And then they've got all the stenciling for your, they got the net so the ball won't go in the street. They got everything. Go to ProDunkHoops.com. It's the only way to go. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
At this point, we don't know what's happened, so what's going to happen, so we have to wait for that to play out to the community. I'm just very happy to be here and happy to support this team.
That was, you kind of, see, I don't know, maybe the translator, I'd like to hear Osuna, because there's absolutely no way he said, at this point, we don't know what happened. Maybe. Then he said, we don't know what happened. We don't know what's going to happen. If he said, no sabemos qué pasó, no sabemos qué va a pasar, that's, we don't know what happened, and we don't know what will happen. But of all the people in the world, I would think Roberto Osuna knows what happened since, well, it was him. Can you play it again? No, or no? Is it? Our equipment will let you, and we're doing it, and here we go.
At this point, we don't know what's happened, so what's going to happen?
We don't know what's happening.
To the community.
Okay. What's going to happen? No sabemos qué va a pasar. Okay. All right. He didn't say, because the translation on paper, after I read this, after their, we don't know what happened. What? How do you not know what happened, Roberto? You were there. So we don't know what's going to happen. That's better. That's really, really better, because that's not... He really didn't answer anything anyway. I don't know how emotional there... I don't know that... I think the Astros are... The Astros, the rest of the players are kind of in a bad spot, especially Justin Verlander and Lance McCullers. McCullers on the DL now. If he's away from everybody for a while, it's kind of a good thing. They're really not answering much right now. You know, there's so much that we don't know is basically the line of that the team has taken. There's so much that we don't know. Lance McCullers tweeted out when Danry Vasquez was hitting his girlfriend on video. The thing that he said was, just because it's on video, it doesn't matter. If it's not on video, it's still happening. And that is exactly the case here with Osuna. So this is a difficult spot for McCullers. Obviously, Justin Verlander is catching a lot of it because, and I've seen somebody who's calling him hypocritical. Stop. I mean, these guys are between a rock and a hard place. And again, this is on this is brought on by management. I kind of wish, you know, Jeff Luhnow, again, in Astro Ball, it seemed like he took everybody's opinion into account. And yet the only one that we know that he went to before making this trade was Altuve. As opposed to going, I mean, I think it would have been, I think it's kind of important that he goes to Verlander, that he goes to McCullers. Those were the most outspoken guys about Vasquez.
You know, why did Carlos Correa say that out loud? That, I always wondered that. He didn't have to.
Well, maybe because he wasn't asked either.
No. I mean, he clearly wasn't. He did say that maybe there was nothing meant by it, but he did say, I mean, he was asked if he was, I guess you don't want to say, I guess Carlos was in a spot where he was saying, no, I mean, he did talk to Altuve because Altuve has a ton of juice, obviously. But if you weren't talked to about it, you don't want to act like you were talked, you know, you don't want to, oh, yeah, I mean, he talked to people on the team, members of the team. He just said he talked to, didn't he say the only guy he talked to was Jose Altuve?
Yeah.
Is that how he worded? I'm trying to think of how he worded.
Well, and the Verlander was asked, was he talked to, and he said no.
None of this makes any sense for me.
Yeah.
None of it makes sense that he wouldn't talk to some of the veterans. Here's what, and you know what? Maybe this is the general thought. Maybe this is the thought. Damian says, no one honestly cares. After 2 weeks, people will forget like nothing happened. The only time someone will care will be if someone from the media brings it up. Maybe that's true. Maybe people don't care about it. I mean, as long as it doesn't happen to their mom or sister or someone that they know.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't think they care. Verlander and McCullers are... they seem to be more socially conscious than that. I think, especially, you know, McCullers,
he means the
McCullers
fans.
Loves puppies.
I think the fans.
Oh, the fans he's talking about.
Yeah.
Maybe
teammates too. Maybe
I'm more worried about the locker room than I am the fans. Fans are going to be fans. If he goes now and he's like Ken Giles and goes perfect on save situations.
Let's just be honest. We have enough examples currently and over the years that people really they have no spines when it comes to morality. They don't care. People don't care. They just don't. Yeah.
Win
is all they want to do. And they really don't care about like, I mean, if it's their mom or their sister, they're gonna care a lot.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think a lot of people are just like, I mean, it's terrible. I didn't want it to happen, but ultimately it doesn't affect me. So keep on walking.
But,
keep moving.
Brian, let's get him in quick. Oh, we got a break. No, Dell said no. Dell said no, Brian. I'm trying. Dell hates you. There's nothing we can do about that.
I don't know you, Brian, but there's a real shot I would hate you. So John might be right.
We got to get to it because we're going to be on Channel 26 on the other side too. So we'll do that next right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime... I got to talk about Chance McClain and YourHeritageFilm.com. YourHeritageFilm.com. YourHeritageFilm.com is a 30 for 30. Basically, it's a documentary about your family. Do you feel like you would love to have somebody on tape for generations to come? Wouldn't it be cool to have somebody from 100 years ago tell you about your family, where they came from, how they got here, what all the stuff that was going on? I would love to see that. All the Italians going, hey. And the Greeks, too. You know, hey. I don't think they do that. But you know, listen, it would be awesome to see in 100 years, in 200 years, for your family to see where you came from and what you were doing. And Chance McClain can keep your heritage alive. All you got to do is go to yourheritagefilm.com, see for yourself a long form interview that he puts into a documentary with pictures and videos. It's awesome. yourheritagefilm.com.